And if you will, turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You also have a yellow bulletin insert, which we're not going to use today. I didn't turn my clocks back far enough. You know, I don't have enough time. In spite of all the things that we cut out in the service, there have been lots of sermons today, but this topic is too important for me to just preach. You know, I tried to preach this last week. I was planning to preach this last week, but I couldn't speak loud enough from the hospital room in Morristown Medical Center where Bev was. I tried screaming it out, but it didn't get down here. But anyhow, so we have the same outline this week as last week, but it's too much. How about that? I'll tell you. Not only to get an extra hour of sleep, but you don't get to sleep through the sermon today. Anyhow, I'll get it to you. This is just such an important topic, so rich. And this week was the 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther tacking 95 theses, statements of doctrine, on a church door in Wittenberg, Germany, that launched, that kicked off the Protestant Reformation, the protesting of doctrines that had gone awry in the church as a whole, calling the church to wake up. And one of the most significant of those doctrines was justification by faith alone. By the way, I heard something this week, I read something that really struck me, I never knew before. You've probably heard of Martin Luther King Jr.? Did you know that he had a father named Martin Luther King Sr.? Actually, both of them were born Michael King. And the father, the senior, was a Baptist pastor and preacher. He went on a tour of the Holy Land and came back through Europe, through Germany, and was so impressed with what he heard and saw about Martin Luther, the reformer, that he changed his name to Martin Luther King, from Michael King Sr. to Martin Luther King. And he changed his son's name, as Martin Luther King Jr. was just a boy, and now as part of the legacy. Well, the greater legacy is all of the doctrines of our Protestant churches. And the point of this teaching, the point of this reform, is that we have rediscovered the biblical doctrine that we are not saved by what we do, but we're saved by what Jesus has done for us. Jesus died on the cross, and His finished work, not our works, are the basis for our gaining heaven, getting salvation. It's not by all the good things that we do, which are great in response to the faith that God births us, but it's through what Jesus did for us, and that alone, by faith, as we trust Him, by faith alone. Let me read the scripture. At least do that. And then we'll go on to communion. I don't want to do fast food for communion today. I've been having a lot of fast food this week on the road, but we'll take our time with communion. But hear the words that prompted Martin Luther, that prompted John Wesley as he was converted. Already, both of them priests, teachers, authors, think about it, great names and leaders in our church, already involved in ministry, but not yet awakened by this truth of justification by faith alone, defined just as if I never sinned. We can be, by faith, righteous, just as if we never sinned. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for us ungodly. Very rarely will anyone dare to die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I will fill in all of these points at a later date, I promise. It's too important a sermon not to preach at some time. But I want us to enjoy God's presence in communion. I know, Alan, give me a break. 2 weeks in a row you didn't preach. Well, I did a little bit. Okay. Take out your hymnals and let's turn to page number 12 in the front for our preparation for a time of communion.